We're talking about the armor. Amen. We're talking about the armor. And yeah. Like that guy over there in the corner. The spiritual armor for spiritual warfare. How many of you know the enemy wants to run you down and all those kinds of things? I had a crazy thing happen to me this week. I've been hauling equipment all week, and so I can't park my trailer at the house, and so I park it over here across the road in this big area over there. Well, I think it was Friday morning, but before it started to rain, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. I don't remember even what time it was, but I was over there and I was going to hook up my trailer and it hadn't started raining here yet, but the wind was blowing. And I was out there and I had all my backup lights on and everything's really illuminated out there. And I cranked my landing gear up on the Jeep, the front part of my trailer, and I was hooking the hoses up. And as I jumped down off of there, I caught this movement as I started to walk toward my truck out of the corner of my eye. And if you know anything about me, you can startle me pretty easy. You can sneak up on me and scare me half to death real easy. And so as I turned and I saw this movement out of the corner of my eye, and I turned and I looked, and the wind had kicked up about 100 maple leaves, about that big. And them dudes were just running across the top of the ground. I mean, a whole herd of them. They were just coming right at me. I'm telling you what. It was like, wow, scared me half to death it was the attack of the maple leaves, man. And they were coming for me. And until I identified, because there's cats over there. Do you know that? There's like hundreds of cats that live over there. And I didn't know but what maybe 50 of them were after me for some reason or whatever. And you don't want a cat running up your leg, that's for sure. And I thought, man, that was crazy. And I got in my truck and I started to drive off. And it's like the Lord was like, that's the way the enemy is. He's always looking for an opportunity to come after you. Amen. We talked about it in 1 Peter 5:8, where the enemy's roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But this morning we want to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. And I think this is going to help us today in what we're talking about when the enemy is after us. Amen. Father, I need your touch. I need your anointing today to share this word. God, I need, Lord, for you to minister through me as I minister to your people today, God. And so I thank you for it. I pray for the outcome that you have today, that you would change people's lives, that you would help us to understand this about your armor and about this weaponry. And Father, I thank you for it. I give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen. So this is literally the third week in our series on this armor, on the armor of God. And this is a Bible study that actually Tammy did with the women. And I can't remember exactly what the gal's name is that brought this video series. And I watched it and went through it and I adapted it because I really felt like the Lord was saying, listen, this is bigger than just the women. The entire church needs to know and understand this. And so that's where this whole series of messages was birthed from. My desire is to get us strong in the things of the Lord. Amen? That's my desire. And so we need to remember that in our first week we learned that open war is on us whether we want it or not. You don't have to look very far on the television set today to discover and to realize and understand that we are in an open war. We are in an open war in our nation. We're in an open war in our world. And we are bigger than that. We are in a open war in the spiritual realm because there's a real enemy and he really doesn't like you. So we're in open war, whether we want it or not. Last week we talked about the belt of truth and where we get our support for our core. And this week I want to look at the breastplate of righteousness to see what its function is in this war. So how many of you have ever been well, I grew up on a ranch, and so, you know, there's stuff laying around all over the place. And how many have you ever picked up a piece of plywood or maybe a boat or something that's been in a place for a long time, and you just flip that thing over and if you, listen, there's going to be something under that, dude. There's going to be something creepy. Something crawly, something gonna jump out at you. I'm telling you, when you flip that thing over, it's gonna be there. Amen. And if it's a snake, whoo, Jesus. I don't like snakes. I do not like them. I don't even like the good ones. Amen. They're just ugly. Stick their tongue out at you and all that nastiness. I know they have a place, but it ain't on my place. Hallelujah. My dad would bring them home in his pickup. You remember that, Rick? My dad would find bull snakes, king snakes. He'd bring, haul them right. I got another snake, turn it loose. Dad, what is wrong with you? You know, he knew the importance of those snakes. The enemy is just looking. He's hiding under stuff. He's in that rustle of leaves. Right? I mean, he's under that plywood that you flip over. There's something of the enemy always looking for an opportunity to jump out at you and to get on you. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, you're going to have this memorized by the time we get done, I hope. More than memorized, I hope you have it internalized, because that's where it's going to help you. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, to be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Lord, add your blessing to the reading of your Word. Understand this today, church, that Paul is trying to help you and I figure out how to stand firm against the attacks of the enemy. How many of you understand today that the enemy has personalized his attack against you? The enemy has personalized his attack against you. The enemy knows exactly what makes you click. The enemy knows exactly how to tip you over. The enemy knows exactly what to do, what to bring your way, what to tempt you with, how to get you derailed. He knows exactly where to give you a problem at. He just understands it. Paul wants us to know how to stand firm against those attacks. How many of you would like to just have a detailed, laid out battle plan against the wiles of the enemy? Well, that's what you're getting through this study. That's exactly what you're getting through this series of messages. He's trying to help us figure out how we can deflect the advances of the enemy as he tries to wreak havoc in our lives. See, He's already told us that we first of all must gird ourselves with the belt of truth. There's got to be something, church, that we have that will strengthen our core. How many of you are just brave enough to be honest today and hold your hand up and say, I have lied. I have lied. How many of you know that when you tell that lie, you have to remember that thing from then on? You got to remember exactly how you said it, the context that you said it in, everything about that lie. You've got to remember that. Listen, I'm not that stinking smart. How many of you have ever told the truth? Amen? How many of you know that when you tell the truth, you don't never have to remember it again? You know why? Because it's the truth and it doesn't ever change. But a lie changes. Every time it gets told, it changes. So that's why this strengthening of your core with this belt is so important, because it's the belt of truth. And it's your support. Gird yourself, he says, with the belt of truth. And in 6:14 he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the body armor was a large leather or bronze or chain mail piece that protected the body from the neck to the thighs. It protected the vital organs. No soldier would go into battle without his body armor. It's suicide. It's just craziness. Protecting the vital organs is this breastplate's main function. And righteousness, listen, righteousness provides a significant defense. It gives the evidence that we have been made right with God, and that this righteousness has been given us by the Holy Spirit. Amen? How many of you understand that righteousness isn't a thing? It's a position. Your righteousness is your position in Christ Jesus. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Satan seeks to thwart righteous living. To thwart it. To stop it, to abolish it, to get us to not do it. He's trying to do everything he can to keep you and I from living righteously. When the enemy, according to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, he is the accuser. When he tries to convince you and I that we are not really saved, is the pastor the only one that he tries to tell you're just not really saved? When he tries to convince you and I that we're just really not saved, that we just keep on disappointing God. Anybody? I just keep disappointing God over and over. And that we're a poor excuse for a Christian. Is this hitting home with anybody? You're just a poor excuse for a Christian. Listen, you and I, because of righteousness, can stand up to that because of the righteousness that we have been promised through our faith in Christ Jesus. Listen, first of all, we shouldn't be listening to the enemy. Some way, somehow, we've got to begin to get enough of God's Word in us and understand it enough. Listen, the cultures of the day, when Jesus was walking on the earth, their rules were way different. I'm reminded this morning, I've been reminded several times, and I think it's for this moment right here, of the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. For 12 years, this woman suffered with this flow of blood, and she had completely exhausted all of her resources on doctors and on medical stuff and vitamins and whatever. herbs and oils and those kinds of, I mean, everything that she had spent everything, and she heard that Jesus was coming to town. Well, can I just tell you that culturally, that woman with that issue could not leave her house. She was under lockdown. She was under lockdown by the culture that said, if you've got that, you're unclean, you cannot go out amongst the people. But she heard a little bird tell her, I'm just helping the story. It's not scriptural that the bird said anything. It was no bird. It might have been a bird, I don't know. But she heard that Jesus was in town. Listen, when you get as desperate as this woman was, when you find out that Jesus is in town, there ain't enough devils in hell can keep you in your house. Amen. Woo, glory. She's like, well, Jesus is in town. I've heard He's the healer. And so there's this throng of people, this crowd of people, and the disciples, they're all there and they're around, and Jesus is, He's just trying to get through the crowd, and He's heard that there's this other issue that He's gonna go and help and take care of this other thing. And this woman, she's completely out of her element. She's nowhere where she's supposed to be. She's busting through the crowd, and she reaches out because of her faith that says, if I could but just touch the hem of His garment, I'm gonna be made whole. And she pushed her way through the crowd until she found Jesus, and she touched Him. And virtue, the Bible said, flowed out of Jesus and into this girl, and she was healed. And Jesus has the audacity to say, who touched me? And the disciples said exactly what you and I would have said. You're in a whole crowd of people. Who do you think touched you? Everybody. Everybody's touching you, man. Jesus said, no, not so. Somebody touched me. Because He said, virtue flowed out of me. When we get to the place that this woman was in, where we ain't so concerned about what everybody else thinks, I am righteous because of the righteousness that has been promised me through our faith in Jesus Christ. It ain't nothing about me. The Bible makes it clear that my righteousness is as filthy rags. Satan wants to stop you and I. So here's the question. Why is righteousness so important? Why is righteousness so important? Well, basically, it's because unrighteousness is that piece of overturned plywood that, or a boat or whatever. It's the perfect environment to attract demonic influences in your life. That's why we've got to go back and start singing the little Sunday school songs that we used to sing back in the old days. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be. I guess I'm the only one that knows that song. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. And be careful, little ears. It's not just a cute song. It's a biblical implication that is released through that song that they teach the little kids. And when we get adults, we're like, man, that don't pertain to us anymore. It sure should. It's the perfect environment to attract demonic influence in your life. You don't have to send out an invitation to the devil to come mess with you. Hello? You don't have to wonder if he's gonna mess with you. He's going to mess with you. I saw in Outdoor Life or a hunting magazine or something, I saw a picture of a really nice buck and he had a target painted on his side and the caption underneath of it said bummer of a birthmark. I thought, yeah. If you're a child of God, you've been marked and the enemy's coming after you. He is gonna, you've got that mark, just like that deer, you got that mark. Just the fact that you and I are living and, just the fact that you or I am living an unrighteous lifestyle out of alignment with the truths of God's Word is notice enough. Do you understand what I just said? When we live an unrighteous lifestyle out from under the covering of the Lord, that's notice enough for the enemy. He's coming for you. Anytime we engage in an unrighteous lifestyle, we automatically create an environment in which demonic influence feels welcomed and invited into our lives. We have to make a choice to be men and women who live a righteous lifestyle. Listen, right side up living deflects the attacks of the enemy in our lives. Right side up living deflects the attacks of the enemy in our lives. Back in the day when I was much younger, Star Wars wasn't even heard of, but we had Star Trek. We had Star Trek with Captain Kirk and Scotty and Bones and Mr. Sulu. Yeah? And Spock. Amen. Hallelujah. They would come under attack. The Klingons would come and they would come to attack the Starship Enterprise. And Captain Kirk would say, Scotty, put up the deflector shields. And he'd put them up, you know. And listen, we need somebody in our life, which we have by way of the Holy Spirit, that is telling us, hey, put up the deflector shields in your life. Put them up. Right side up living deflects the attack of the enemy. Unrighteousness is the enemy's invitation. He feels welcomed into your experience when we don't line up with the Scripture. Remember that the first three pieces of the armor are different from the last three. There's a distinct difference between the first three and the last three. The first three are not to be taken up in the moment in which we need them, as is the case with the last three. Did you hear what I just said? The first three are not to be taken up in the moment. The last three, however, are. The first three are the uniform. The first three are the uniform. They're to be the uniform. They are to be worn moment by moment, day by day, girding yourself with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Really, this is our uniform day in and day out. Listen. On a baseball team, I coached Little League, T-ball and those kinds of things way back in the day. And the uniform is the same whether you're in the outfield or whether you're at second base or whether you're sitting on the bench. The uniform's the same. Amen? But if you're the catcher or if you're the batter, all of a sudden, there are pieces that are added to the uniform. You have a baseball bat if you're the batter. If you're the batter, you put on a hard plastic helmet because too many kids have been beamed in the head with a hard ball. Hello. If you're the catcher, you put on different pieces to protect yourself. You can't go out in the field without the uniform. You, it's ridiculous. You take up the bat when you're in the batter's box. You trade a soft ball cap for a hard helmet when you're batting. You put on a thick glove when you're catching. Paul's saying in verse 14 that our uniform is right living. People live outside the context of God's Word all the time and then wonder why they don't have the blessings of God in their life. Well, it's pretty simple if you really get down to it. You're not living under the expectation and the mandates of God. Well, I don't agree with everything. Well, that doesn't matter. That doesn't change the fact that it's God's truth. He's the author and the finisher of your faith, and He does not need you to be His editor. You can't go to the field, on the field without the uniform. The uniform's right living. Your uniform every single day has to be to make right choices that align with God's expectations that are laid out clearly in Scripture. Righteousness is upright living that aligns with the expectations of God. Righteousness is going to cause you and I to be different from the world that is around us. We ought to be different than the world we live in. People ought to look at us like we're weird. We're not. They are. Hello. It is not happenstance that truth comes first in the list of armor, and that righteousness comes after we gird ourselves with the truth. Remember that a man or a woman that gird themselves with truth chooses a lifestyle that affirms God's standard, that upholds it, supports it, and encourages it. That's the only way. There's no gray area. A man or a woman that girds themselves with truth chooses. It's a choice. God doesn't force nothing on us. Remember what Joshua said? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So you get to choose. You have to choose a lifestyle that is affirming the standard that God has set and uphold it and support it and encourage it. So really, we should affirm God's standard and then align our behavior with His standard. So look at it this way. Truth is the railroad tracks in your life, and righteousness is the train of your obedience and our behavior that aligns with the train tracks of God's truth and rides them out the distance. Listen, a train can't go anywhere if it's not on the tracks. He ain't going nowhere. It's just not going to happen. The enemy's goal is to derail the train of yours and my behavior off the tracks of God's truth. That's his job. That's his plan. That's his purpose. He wants to derail your train. The devil wants our behavior to be out of alignment with the truth that you say you affirm. The enemy tempts you and I toward unrighteous living every time he gets a chance. He does not miss an opportunity to mess us up. Oh, amen. Preach on. Okay. Listen, do you think it's coincidence that particular temptation comes to you and I in that particular moment when we happen to be particularly weak or particularly lonely or hungry or exhausted? Do you think it's a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. It's an attack. It's a planned attack of the enemy. Remember, God never tempts us, but the enemy sure does. He's going to try to catch you and I at our weakest moment. Remember when I talked about Jim and when I talked about Marlon Perkins and Mutual of Omaha's walking? Do you remember that? The lions and the tigers, they don't go after the lead buffalo. They go after old Wilbur in the back. Wait for me, guys. I'm coming. The old, the weak, the sick, and the young are the ones that the enemy is coming after. He's coming after them. He's coming after you and I. They don't. How many of you know that the lions don't care if it's just a baby? It's just like a little Scooby snack to them. He's scheming against us all the time. He's looking to see what your weak points are, what your tendencies are. He wants to know what your personality is and where you have misstepped in the past. He's chronicling all of that information so that he comes up with a strategic plan for the exact right temptation that he hopes is going to lead you and I down a path of unrighteousness. He watches every move we make. He knows exactly what you and I are doing. He sees the patterns. In deer hunting, we call it patterning. You can pattern animals. You can pattern. They're doing this this week and next week. You follow them around. They kind of have a pattern that they begin to follow, and you can watch them and you can pattern them. And the enemy does the same thing in our lives. He watches us. Unrighteousness leaves you and I open to a full frontal attack from the enemy. And church, you and I can pray against the enemy till we're blue in the face, but if we're living unrighteously, our prayers are not going to be effective. Amen. You can pray till you're blue in the face and it won't help. We've got to set a standard. We've got to walk in integrity. We have to choose to align our lives. That's what the breastplate is. Listen, I spent a lot of my younger days looking over my shoulder. A lot of them. Because of the behaviors that I did in my life. The stupid things, you know. Always looking. Every time you saw a police officer, you're hoping that he didn't see you. But in the back of your mind, you knew he was coming for you. When you get out of that lifestyle, when you get out of that pattern and establish yourself as a child of God and walk in truth and in the righteousness, all of a sudden you're waving at the police hoping they see you. Hey, man. I remember when Scott Young got saved. The chief of police stopped him and said, "Thank you." They thanked him. They thanked him for getting saved because he was a hell raiser. That's crazy, but it's true. Be waving at him. We have to choose. It's our choice again to align our lives with God. It's what the breastplate's all about. If you want the guarding, the protecting that the breastplate gives, we've got to put it in practice. We have to put into practice this truth that we say we gird ourselves with, this truth that we say we affirm. And we have to remember what our definition of righteousness is. And it is this: aligning ourselves to God's expectation. So, is there anybody else besides the pastor that struggles with this sometimes? I mean, we struggle with it. Church, you remember Romans chapter 7? Anybody familiar with Romans chapter 7? You will be as soon as I start talking about it. You'll be like, oh yeah. Romans chapter 7 is real, and we have to remember that Paul said, he said, it's the good. The good that I want to do, I can't seem to do it. He said, and I concur with the law of God in the inner man, so I want to do that what it is that God wants me to do, but there's something wrong with my arms because they don't do what I want. My feet won't go where I want them to go, and my eyes keep looking at stuff that I'm telling them not to look at. We keep finding ourselves in this war between the flesh and the spirit, and church, the war is real, and it's time that the church quit saying, oh, I've got it, and I'm good. good. I got no problem. Life is great. The enemy doesn't ever bother me. Well, listen, if the enemy's not bothering you, you might want to check your salvation. Well, that felt good, didn't it? Listen, because if you're a child of God, the devil hates you and he's coming after you. And I believe with all my heart that the old adage that my dad used to always say all the time, to just leave a sleeping dog alone. And the enemy knows that principle. If you're not a threat to his kingdom, he's not going to mess with you. But when you say, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, change me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, make me your child, write my name, all of a sudden, his attention is at full alert. Oh, I got to do something about this. That's what he's saying. I got to do something about it. I can't let this just go on. By the time Paul gets to the end of chapter 7, he seems, if you'll read through that thing, you'll see that he just seems to be complete and totally frustrated. And this is what he says. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul is saying that. Paul is the one that is asking that question. Paul, who wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. Paul, the apostle that established churches all over the region. Paul, this guy that we're like, man, he is the man. Paul is the man. And he's saying, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Listen, I got news for you. If Paul's having that kind of problems, we're not in trouble, but I'll tell you one thing, we better figure it out. We've got all the help we need in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We got the helper. We have to realize that we remain in the sinful nature as slaves to sin. But we also understand that the answer to who will set us free is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Woo! So we need to understand that the only perfect one has already come. You're not ever, ever, never gonna be perfect. This side of the river. You're not gonna be perfect. The only perfect one has already came, and you know what? They killed him. They nailed him to a cross. They beat him to a bloody pulp. They buried him in a tomb. They covered it up so that he couldn't get out. But guess what? 3 days later, woo! He come busting out of there anyhow. Glory. So how can we make sure to apply the breastplate while aligning ourselves with God's expectation? Well, the belt first, then the breastplate is fastened to the belt. You establish truth in your life. You put the belt of truth on. You establish the truth. How many of you know that the truth is that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life? That's the truth. How many of you understand that the truth that is representation through the belt of truth is that I'm convinced that He is able to keep me against, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep me against that day. Those are things that are wrapped up in the belt. The breastplate then is fastened to the belt. The belt supports some of the weight of the breastplate. We were never supposed to bear the weight of our pursuit of righteousness on our own shoulders. It was never ours to bear alone. We do have our part that we have to play. We have to wear the thing. We have to carry it around. The truth of God's Word bears some of the weight. So we have got to know what the truth is. We've got to know what that truth is. Let me just give you these scriptures really quickly as I'm running way out of time. Listen to what the Word says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, that righteousness which is from God by faith. Romans 5:19. Look at what it says. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteousness. He's talking about the disobedience of Adam in the garden by the thing that Adam did. Not Eve, but the thing that Adam did. Amen? Everybody said, well, it's Eve's fault. No, it was Adam's fault because he could have said no. He's the man. He is the responsible one. I'm not saying that ladies aren't responsible. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in that relationship, he was the covering. He was the top. He was the head of the... As Christ is the head of the church, then Adam was the head of Eve. That's the way it works. And he could have taken care of it right then. So by one man's disobedience, all men were made sinners. And by one man's obedience, being Jesus Christ, he was obedient to the Father's plan, even unto the point of death, the most horrible death that anybody could come up with. By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Not all, but many. All could, but all won't. Because it's a choice. So for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and also by one man's obedience, many were made righteousness. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and 24. Who himself bore our sins in his body, in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Look at what it says further on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in. That two-letter word is a huge big word. In him. So here are the tracks of truth that we are supposed to rest our behavior on. These verses that we just read basically say that to us that when we place faith in Jesus, the righteousness of Christ is then deposited in our spiritual bank account, and we are the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus. We are His righteousness. Come here. Come here. Watch your... Don't lose your race car. Stand right here. See how big this dude is? You just look that way. Don't worry about me. See how big this guy is? He's a representation in this moment of Jesus. And when you and I screw it up, and we mess it up, when God looks at me, He sees Jesus before me, because I'm in Him. Amen? Thank you, brother. Because I'm hidden in Christ Jesus. I'm covered by Jesus. So when we place faith in Christ, in Jesus, the righteousness is deposited in us. All the righteousness of who Christ is has been credited to you and I. So at salvation, there's a gift that is given. It is this gift of righteousness. You know what else it is? It's right standing. It is right standing. It's your position in Christ Jesus. But there's also another gift that we receive at salvation, and it is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. In Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14 says this, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of what? The word of truth. The gospel. The good news. The word gospel there is good news. The good news, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the perfect purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Listen, you and I have an inheritance. How many of you know that in order to receive an inheritance, somebody's got to die. In order to receive an inheritance, somebody has to die. And Jesus was that somebody. And because He died, you and I are partakers of the inheritance that was given to Him. So what was given to Him has been given to me and to you. We are recipients of that. Listen, you start reading through the Scripture and find out what God gave Jesus. Woo! Glory! Listen, if that kind of stuff can't make you happy, you need to check your pulse, son. Lord Jesus. You inherit, it's a guarantee. Woo! I've been redeemed. The redemption of the purchased possession. I've been bought. I've been purchased. How many of you know when you purchase something? Somebody, I purchased this Bible. Amen? The people that had this Bible before I bought it had all the say over this Bible. You know what? I bought the sucker. It's mine. They can't tell me what to do with that Bible. I bought it. They got no control over that thing. I've been purchased. You and I have been redeemed. We've been purchased from the enemy. He can't have us no more. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, church. Woo! So what this is saying is that the Holy Spirit of God has taken residence up in you and I, allowing us to do what we can't do in our own power. What? That's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about. It's not our fruit, it's His fruit. It ain't our fruit, it's His fruit. The Holy Spirit's job is to help enable you and I to live beyond ourselves. You know what Jesus said? Let me tell you what He said. He said, the things that I do, you'll do, and even greater things than I do, you'll do, because I'm going to the Father. And when I go to the Father, I'm going to send to you, the Holy Spirit will empower you to do them things. Bam! Woo! I'm out of time, but I'm going to keep preaching because I'm just having fun. The Holy Spirit's job is to help enable us to live beyond ourselves. You know what? Oh man, He's our cheerleader. He's our cheerleader. Every time I look at this clown over here, me and Rick go way back, and we wrestled all through school together. And when we wrestled, whoever was on the mat, everybody else on the whole team, we weren't off doing our own thing. We were all right on the mat. Slapping the mat, pounding, screaming, hollering, yelling, cheering, encouraging. That's what the Holy Spirit does, church. The Holy Spirit's encouraging. Listen, you don't have to do that because I'm inside of you and I'm giving you the strength to overcome all that. If you'll just listen to me, and we're like, shut up! And we get in trouble. How many of you know He's a gentleman and He will not force Himself on you? He will not overstep your desire. You can do what you want, but you will suffer the consequences of your actions. Preach on, brother. Okay. The Holy Spirit works righteousness from the inside out. How many of you know that there's all kinds of things that I'd like to do, but I can't because I'm a child of God? I mean, I can list you a list of stuff I'd like to do, but boy, it don't line up with this. I can't do it. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. Whew. I'm just having a moment of truth here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Behold. That's like a herald is yelling, behold, the King's coming. Well, He's already here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, what's that say? It says, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification. What's the word sanctification mean? What does it mean to be sanctified? It means set apart. So we've been sanctified by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Sanctification, church, is the process by which you and I are molded by the Holy Spirit into the image of Christ. We need change from the inside out. Righteousness is not manufactured, it's released. That'll help some of you. Righteousness is not manufactured, it's released. Righteousness is inside of us. I saw this article about this sculptor. You know, he was a sculptor, and he had this great big huge rock. There's different pictures, and he had this great huge rock there, and he out of this huge rock, he made this sculpture of this stallion, this horse, this big stallion. And this guy was observing that, and he saw the rock over there, and the stallion was here, and just millions of questions are just flooding his mind. He's like, what in the world? And so he goes to the sculptor, and he said, listen, he said, how in the world did you make a stallion out of that rock? He said, what was your plan? How did you come to decide all of that? How did that rock become this stallion? And the sculptor thought for a moment, and he said, well, simply put, sir, I just chipped away everything that didn't look like a stallion. I just chipped away everything on that rock that didn't look like a stallion. Can I tell you, church, that that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's job is? He is to chip away everything that doesn't look like Christ in your life and in my life. The breastplate protected the most vital organ of the soldiers, specifically the heart. One dagger to the heart, pilgrim, and you're done. One shot to the heart, one well-placed dagger to the heart, and you're done. Church, the devil is after your heart. It is the centerpiece of your soul. The soul and the spirit and your emotions all come out of this area of the heart. And if the enemy can take out your heart, if he can stop your heart from doing the things that you want, that it needs to do, you're done. You're done. Your conscience is the microphone the Holy Spirit uses to allow you to hear the voice of God in your life. Listen, I already said this, but I'll say it again. A lot of days of my life were spent doing really stupid things. I smoked a lot of dope. I took a lot of different drugs and drank way too much beer and whiskey and all that stuff. Every time you turned around, you're looking over your shoulder. You know why? Because you have a dark conscience. Can I tell you, when I got saved and gave my life to the Lord and became redeemed and washed in the blood, I got a clear conscience out of the deal. Can I just tell you the power of a clear conscience, waking up in the morning, not having to wonder what I did the night before? I've been so out of it that I woke up with my lips stuck together from blood and didn't even know how it happened. 3 or 4 days later, somebody will tell you, because you're asking around, who hit me? Who punched me? Nobody. You hit yourself in the face with a door because you're too wasted to get out of the way. Oh, makes perfect sense. Because that's the life that I live. I don't have to. I know what I did last night. I know what I did the day before that and the day before that. And I wake up, I see the police officers, I just wave, smile big. How y'all doing? I'm good today. I didn't do nothing wrong. I have a clear conscience. There's power in a clear conscience. The enemy wants to short circuit the microphone of God to stop you and I from clearly hearing His voice. Let me close with this. Come on, girl. Let me close with Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, which you do not have. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, because this was an afterthought. This is what he says. Paul says this to the church in Galatia. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul says, listen, church, if you want to have the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, if you want to walk holy and upright and blameless, because that's what we're called to, church. We're called to holiness. Here's the thing, we're never going to attain it until we get to heaven, but we're to walk in it as close as we can. And if we'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Bow your heads with me this morning. This helped somebody today. This ministered to somebody today. The Holy Spirit is saying to you today, if that preacher was as bad as he says he was, and I was, I can give you all kinds of witnesses. I was. And if God can save that preacher, then there's hope for me. And there is hope for you. It's in the person, Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. He has redeemed you by the blood of the Lamb, if you'll but ask. You can leave this place today. You can leave this place today having your conscience cleaned, having your sins washed away. He can renew you. But remember what I said earlier. It's a choice. You have to choose. You have to choose. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, people are praying. This is a personal moment. This is a personal moment. But if God's tugging on your heart today and you've never accepted Jesus, you've never said, God, I recognize that I'm a sinner and that outside of you, the only hope I have is hell. The Lord's telling you today that in Christ Jesus you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. There's a place being prepared for you and I in heaven. You can have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus wants to save your soul today. Jesus wants to empower you with His Holy Spirit today. Jesus wants to clear your conscience today. Jesus wants to take your slate and wipe it clean today. You can be redeemed. You have not been too bad. It's as simple as this. If that's you today and you say, preacher, I want to get saved today, all you got to do is raise your hand and I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. Anybody at all say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I haven't been saved. I need to get saved. I want to make heaven my home. Maybe you're here today and you got saved some point in your life. And life happened and you got derailed and you found yourself away from God. Listen, there's this thing called rededication. There's this thing called recommitment. You can recommit. You can rededicate your life to Jesus. All you gotta do is raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. pray for me. God, I want to make heaven my home, and I don't care if I have to come to the altar every Sunday. I want to make sure that I'm going to heaven. Anybody at all say, preacher, that's me. Yeah, hon, I see your hand. Somebody else say, preacher, that's me. Anybody out there in internet land, if you're raising your hand, I obviously can't see that, but if you'll leave us a note, if you'll pray this prayer, God will touch your heart. God will touch your life. God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Listen, if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to come. Step up out of your seat and come right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, hon. Come on, let God bless you this morning. Let God bless you this morning. You can get just as saved in that seat as you can up here. But there's something about taking a step of faith. Come on up here. Get right up here with me, girl. We'll hold your hand. Say, dear Lord, I commit my life to you forever. Wash me, cleanse me, renew me, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Write my name in your Lamb's Book of Life. And I'll serve you from this day forward. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for do-overs. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this precious young lady, God. I pray, God, for healing. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, God. I pray that you'd restore her. Everything that the enemy has meant for harm, God, turn it around and use it for your glory. God, I pray that something of your Holy Spirit would well up within her and God set her apart and call her forth to do exploits in the name of Jesus, to be a mighty teacher, a mighty preacher, an evangelist, whatever the case may be. God, a mighty warrior, woman of God. Lord, thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for the life that she has, that she represents you right now today. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Bless you, sweetheart. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we love you today and we thank you. God, I thank you that you're always after the one. You're always after the one. The enemy is always trying to tell us you're just gone too far. But Lord, again today, you demonstrated that it's not, we've not gone too far. You're calling us back. Father God, I pray for every person in this place today. God, I pray for every person that's not here today because of sickness. I pray that Lord today, you by your Spirit would touch them, heal them, raise them up, that they could be like the woman with this issue. I reached out and I touched the hem of his garment and virtue flowed into me and I am healed and my issue dried up and went away. God, let it be so today. God, let it be so. God, let this church be a mighty lighthouse. God, let it start with this preacher. With my leadership, with this congregation, God, that people would see something of you in us and say, I want to be like that. God, let us be a light in this valley for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen, amen. And amen. Hey, God bless you. Hey, thanks for watching by way of the internet today. I pray this blessed you somehow. Let God minister. Leave us a note and let us know. Amen. God bless you. And goodbye.